Hey, Green Divas and Green Dudes. And if you listen carefully, you're going to hear these beautiful, happy little birds playing behind me. Yep, spring is here. So I just want to take a quick moment to introduce you to what's coming up on this show, because there's a lot and you're going to want to pay attention. First of all, just going to throw it out there. We have an awesome eco-sexy, Green Divas eco-sexy segment with Wendy Strugar, who is the founder of Good Clean Love. Really fascinating conversation with her, and we'll be hoping to hear from her again soon. Holly Thompson does a really good foodie file about bone broth. I don't know if you're like me, but I've been seeing bone broth recipes all over Pinterest and Facebook, so she has a good one for us and talks to us about why bone broth. We talked to Jessica Duravage about the upcoming spring equinox detox. Yes, it is that time of year. And it was a really good conversation about sort of mind-body detox, not just all, you know, mind-body-soul, not just all about the body. We do a wildlife, Green Diva's Heart Wildlife, with Sue Reinhard, the filmmaker who is just finishing up her film The Messenger, which I've had the privilege to see bits of, and it is gorgeous, but it's the backdrop for some really scary statistics about songbirds and what's happening to songbirds and really what that means on a lot of levels. And then our feature is with John DeGraff, who's the executive director of Take Back Your Time, which is an organization lobbying to help us all realize that we work too much and that actually we will be more effective and efficient if we work a little bit less and find more balance. I love this guy and this concept. He's also one of the co-founders of the Happiness Initiative. What's not to love, right? It was a great conversation. And, you know, right now, Lynn and I are in beautiful, sunny Southern California, soaking up a little rays, re-energizing, and getting ready to get back to it, because you do remember that if we hit our number, which is 50,000 on fundgdgd.com, you know, we're trying to raise money there to help amplify all these fabulous voices that we love so much to help save Mama Earth and the humans that run around on Mama Earth. Anyway, she's going to run around naked if we hit our number. So we're going to get really busy soon. And if y'all would go there and check it out, we'd be very grateful. Also, check out the GDGD radio app. It's on all smartphones and some of those semi-smartphones. Just search GDGD radio. Stay tuned. Wonderful show coming your way.
The Green Divas love food. Organic, local, fresh, whole, delicious food. Here now is another Green Diva foodie file.
I'm so happy to have one of our favorite Green Diva foodies, Holly Thompson. She is an author. Her book, which is really a very good book, and I think I gave it to my daughter, Discover Your Nutritional Style. Holly is spelled H-O-L-L-I. HollyThompson.com. She's a consultant, and as we were goofing around before, she is definitely a Green Diva media darling. Hi, Holly.
Hi, it's so nice to be with you today. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. So today, we're going to talk about bone broth. I've been seeing a lot about bone broth in social media, all over Pinterest, all these groovy pictures. Tell us why. Why?
Yeah, it's a hot new category. It's a new trend. Well, you know, I think this is almost the pushback to, you know, cold green juice for all these past years, and that becoming just such a hot trend. If you pardon the pun, you know, bone broth is a warming. It's a warming antidote to green juice, and it is. You know, it's warming. And look, for those of us who are in the Northeast, you and I were just talking about this awful gray, cold weather and winter that we're having. Yeah. You know, I mean, for so many people, a warming cup of bone broth is so nourishing and tastes so good and feels so good. to our system. But it's also loaded with nutritional and immune support. So, you know, it makes a lot of sense for this time of year when every other person has a flu or a cold, right?
So is it like made from bones or is it for your bones?
It's, you know, good question, and the answer is both.
Okay, good.
Generally, it refers to being made from bones. So you would use, if you're making a beef bone broth, the bones that most people prefer to use, I do, are marrow bones, because right. You are getting so many nutrients, minerals like calcium, phosphorus, magnesium, potassium, and basically cooking these bones, these marrow bones, with very simple ingredients in a slow cooker for a good 24 hours really allows the minerals to release from the bone so that you can readily drink the broth and absorb them. So
wow.
That's the beauty of it. Bone broth is also rich in amino acids like glycine, choline, which are very important for a healthy gut. Also helps your digestion. It can also contain chondroitin and glucosamine, which, as you know, both help to reduce inflammation for your joint pain. So, you know, a lot of people are finding that this is a fantastic way to improve their health. It's also soothing and feels good, you know, in the cold gray days of winter.
Well, I need some bone broth now. But see, now here's the bummer. I'm a vegetarian.
There you go.
But I'm tempted to bust this one open and get myself some kind of organic, grass-fed, happy cows outside kind of bones.
And, you know, and that's what I always recommend. If you are going to make bone broth, make sure you are getting your bones from an organic, grass-fed butcher, because the all of those, if it's a factory-farmed cow, all of those nasty hormones and antibiotics and drugs that they're giving those cows settles in the fat. And so you do not want to be using bones from cows that are not the way you described. You know, the other way to do it, a lot of vegetarians do allow themselves a little bit of chicken broth.
Yeah.
And you can also, you can make broth from a chicken or turkey carcass as well.
Yes.
Going to have a different taste, but, you know, have similar and just as beneficial benefits that are going to come from a chicken bone broth. So,
really?
You know, have a chicken, enjoy it, and then throw that, you know, that bone carcass in a big slow cooker. Usually you would add some carrots, celery, some onions. I like to put garlic in there.
I put garlic and cayenne pepper in when I make.
Yeah.
When I used to. I haven't made it in a while because I have always pretty much made my own chicken broth over the years, even though I consider myself a vegetarian. I've had bouts of chicken broth. Because, you know, now tell me, is there really a comparable nutritional value in beef or chicken or turkey? Is there a difference?
You know, some of the smaller bones, as they say, contain a connective tissue. So, you know, depending on, you know, there are certain collagens that can produce different gelatin. So, you know, it really depends. I mean, I would say if you want to get, you know, I always say vary your proteins. You know, poultry bones contain a lot more cartilage, so you're going to get certain nutrients from that. But then the marrow and the beef bones, you're going to get other essential minerals. I would say vary it up. You know, if you are someone who is open to trying bone broth, see what you're drawn to and what your body craves and enjoys. A lot of vegetarians do allow themselves a chicken broth or, you know, a stock. And the important thing is that you do want to cook it for at least 24 hours so that you are getting as many nutrients as you can from the bone.
I'm sure you have a recipe, and hopefully you'll share one with us for thegreendivas.com. But, I'm thinking that when I have ever – you know, made chicken broth, it's always been in the winter when everything feels kind of tentative health-wise, and I just want that warm, rich, and I throw all those vegetables and, like I said, cayenne and garlic and celery. Mm. Yay!
Perfect. Yeah. Right. I mean, even just talking about it, I am hanging up with you, and I am going to go do that.
Seriously. I am, like, ready, man. All right.
Well, I am ready.
Holly, thank you for another excellent, excellent segment. And people can go to Holly, H-O-L-L-I, Thompson, T-H-O-M-P-S-O-N.com. And we'll talk to Holly again soon. Thanks, Holly.
Great. You're welcome.
Hope you're hungry. For more easy and delicious recipes and even more foodie information, go to thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.
Vibrant health and beauty radiates from the inside out. Get your glow on with Green Diva's health and beauty tips, from natural skincare to creating healthier habits that make us sparkle. And it is that time of year. It's time for spring cleaning inside and out. And, you know, I learned years ago that March was in I think, Chinese medicine and in some cultures, March is the month of cleansing and of detox. So what a better way to do it than with the Rebel Wellness Spring Equinox Detox. So today we're going to speak to Jessica Durivage. I love that name. I just love that name. Who is the co-creator of this wonderful detox, which I am going to participate in. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I am doing awesome. Awesome. Thank you so much for having me here.
Yeah, I think it was the macrobiotic. When I lived in the Berkshires, Cushy Institute was thriving, and there was a whole bunch of folks I hung out with who followed his teachings. And March was the, you know, detox month, so everybody used to chew on a stick of cinnamon once a day throughout the day in March. And everybody had rashes.
Cool. Cool, that's awesome.
So talk, you are the founder and publisher of whereismyguru.com.
Yes.
So talk a little bit about, you know, what you're doing, you know, what you do and what you're doing with this particular detox, what it's about.
Well, the detox is, we do two programs a year, two courses a year. First one was last fall, and obviously this next one is coming up, the doors where we begin on March 20th, and it's the theme is rescue your tired heart and nourish your wild soul.
Nice.
You know, yeah. You know what I think myself, and then my co-creator and partner in this, Tanya Lee Markle, what we both would say passionately is that this is about meeting you where you are at. It's about stepping and re-stepping once again onto the path, embracing that all is the path, and just providing you with some tools, nurturing, nourishment, guidance, amazing interviews, yoga and meditation, all sorts of goodies for your toolbox to support you in going through this, you know, obviously the change in season, so that this big transition. But also remembering that we are nature. We are the seasons. Our body is made of the earth and the trees and the sky and the stars. And that transformation is happening all the time. And so, you know, the word detox can sometimes throw people off. Like, is this a diet? Am I supposed to create these goals? And do I need to, am I supposed to be losing weight? Am I supposed to be exercising every day? And we really want you to define those things for yourself.
Right.
You know, what does it mean to detox in your life? You know, during the first detox, my goal was to get up and drink warm lemon water every single day. You know, I kept things very small and doable and practical. It wasn't about trying to change everything all at once.
Right.
So I think that's just important to share with this program and why this program is different.
Well, I totally agree. And I really think some of these wonderful, you know, physical detoxes are lovely. But I always felt that there was a component missing, because if, you know, I just feel like it's so much more integrated, our mind, body, spirit, that whole thing. And it may seem cliche, but I know it's absolutely true. And I like the way you gals, because we were privy to the last one. We weren't able to fully participate, but I did get to participate. There was a couple really gentle yoga, and the instruction was so kind of gentle and purposeful and mindful. And it really was a brief reminder of, like, oh, that's right. Okay. Just another deep breath and a stretch to remind myself that I'm present and I'm doing all these things because, you know, I want everything to kind of integrate and detox from whatever tox is in your world. Like you said, it could be, you know, it could just be the relationships you're in. You have to kind of clean up your part in things. I don't know.
You know, Meg, I really love the word that you used there, and you used the word remind. And that's really, I mean, what else are we here to do but remind ourselves and remind one another, you know, that what our true nature is, that we are, you know, that we are connected to humanity. And in order to connect to humanity, we need to form a kinship and a deep, authentic connection with ourselves. And it becomes, you know, I think they don't tell you this when you first start out on the spiritual path, or you step on the spiritual path, or you make a commitment to live a life that is more awake. And maybe they do, but maybe you can't hear it. But it is a day-to-day and a moment-to-moment. And how can we be more awake when we're sitting here together connecting on a radio show? And how can you be more awake when you're doing all of your, you know, multitasking planning? Mm-hmm. How can I be more awake doing the dishes? How can you be more awake during a creative nourishment process like our upcoming program that starts on March 20th?
Right.
And so, you know, so that's, I think, from you know, where Tanya and I and then also Andrea Bolt, who was a part of the first detox, you know, the three of us have a commitment to live our life in that way. And so it comes across through the course and the Facebook group and the interactions we have with all of the participants.
It's a dynamite group of women who are like powerhouse, inspirational and just really true. So I'm going to encourage people to check this out. And even if you can't do this particular session with the ladies, which is sad, but, you know, I know that you can learn from both Jessica's site, Where Is My Guru, and from Rebel Wellness. And you can just start by being mindful with where you're at and what's going on around you, and start to notice, like, gee, you know, the schedule I'm on, it's a little, there's something toxic about this particular, you know, whatever it is. And obviously being mindful about our eating is part of it, and how we're exercising and moving through the world.
Absolutely.
So I'm sorry, I'm like, you're babbling away here, but I'm excited to try this. We'll be in California getting started with this with y'all, and we will report in on how it's going and let everybody know. So if they don't get into this one, they can get into future ones. Thank you so much, Jessica, and I'm looking forward to talking to you again soon.
Thank you so much, Meg. We really appreciate this opportunity.
Are you sparkling yet? Well, you will be. For information on this segment and lots of other healthy green living information, visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. Green Diva's Heart Wildlife. Who can resist all those videos and images of adorable baby animals? But sometimes these adorable creatures really need our help. Let's celebrate wild animals, learn about them, and do what we can to help them. Well, this is so timely for me to speak to the wonderful Sue Reinhardt, who is a filmmaker, and she's been working on a film. We spoke to her a while ago about a film she's been working on. It was called Songbird SOS, and now it's evolved to a new name, Messenger, which is so brilliant and beautiful. And it's all about, sadly, our songbirds that are really in danger, and what the implications of that, not only for them and those of us who love to hear our songbirds in the morning or whenever, it's got implications across the board. And I just want to say that, like, before the sun really started showing up here in northern northeast, I'm in New Jersey, I could hear the birds even when it was absolutely freezing a couple of weeks ago. I could hear the spring birds, and I was really impressed. Those hardy little creatures, you know? Anyway, Sue, How are you?
I'm good. Great to talk to you again.
Yeah, but it, you know, it's funny because after having spoken to you, I've got this clench in my heart whenever I think about it because I love birds. And then when I heard them, I thought, oh, we have to help them. So I'm so glad that you're doing what you're doing.
Yes, well, we're glad to be making this film too because I think it's an important thing for people to understand. And I think for me, like you, I like hearing the birds. I don't consider myself an expert or anything. That's where where I started with this project anyway. But I came to realize that we just don't have the same amount of birds anymore.
Yeah.
At first, I thought it was me and I was just missing them. I was too busy or I was sleeping in.
Right, you know, right.
Missing them. But what's happening is that the declines, this loss of birds that we're having is gradual. And year to year, it's just not possible for an individual to remember, like, how many birds you heard at 6 a.m. March,
right.
You know, versus this March. So when it's that perceptual, you just kind of adjust and you don't really realize. But what is happening is that basically around the world, we're losing many, many different species of birds. And our film focuses specifically on songbirds.
Right.
And what we do is we spent a year shooting, and we traveled to many different places in Canada and the U.S., but, you know, the far north of Canada, like the boreal forest, and then into places like New York City, you know, so right in the middle of a metropolis. So it's a very contemporary film and a very urban film.
I was just going to say, I've had the privilege to see some clips of this film, and it is gorgeous, absolutely beautiful what I've seen.
Thank you. We definitely strove to make a cinematic film and a pleasurable film. I mean, I think about when I want to go to a film, what do I want? You know, you kind of want this epic experience. You want to get lost in the imagery, and you do want beauty and poetry. And it is a complicated issue, and it's a challenging one. But we also try to make a film that has hope as explores things and is a visual, beautiful, epic journey that has, you know, it has some ups and downs and some tension, and it's certainly emotional. You know, I mean, in our test screenings, I definitely saw a few tears. So that it's kind of wonderful. But, you know, it's definitely a cinematic film. So I'm glad that you brought up the visuals. It's so hard on the radio to imagine something.
Well, we will offer links for people who are listening to this. We're going to offer stuff on thegreendivas.com to make it easy for them to find the film and some other things that we're going to talk about in a minute.
Great.
So tell us some, I know there are some like very upsetting statistics.
Yes. Well, the statistics, yes, they do tell the story for sure. Bridget Stutchberry, who's a Canadian, she basically sums it up by saying we have half the birds that we did now that compared to the 1960s.
Wow.
So that's only 55 years ago.
Yes.
And she's specifically talking about songbirds. And it is difficult because it's hard to make a summary statement because every species of bird has a different story to tell.
Right.
They're all so unique and they have their unique adaptations and their unique habitats. But when you do average it out, that's kind of the average. Although, you know, when you look out your window and you see the house sparrows and it looks like there's lots of them there, you might not realize that there's another bird that actually is trying to live in the swamp nearby or the wetland nearby that is down by 90%.
Wow.
You know, so it is very, very alarming. And like I said earlier, it is global. So this is the scary thing. It's happening everywhere.
And like we talked about last time, I think some of it can be attributed to the same things that may be pestering and terrorizing, really, bees and other pollinators, such as neonicotinoids and other kind of hazardous toxins in our environment, right?
Yes. We have a large thing that we did with Dr. Christy Morrissey, who's a Saskatchewan-based ecotoxicologist.
Oh.
I love that word, ecotoxicologist.
Wow. We didn't talk to her.
and she's amazing. So we filmed her field work, which means, you know, a lot of the film is actually in situations where we're not talking head and shoulders interviews. We're out in the field in these beautiful landscapes or deep in these cities, but we were in the prairies where there's like millions of acres and they're all seeded with canola. And canola is, the canola's all pre-treated with neonicotinoid pesticides.
Yeah, yeah.
And we know that there's certain crops have demonstrated that there's an effect on bees. But with the birds, it's a little bit different. It's not necessarily a direct effect, because what's happening is that the pesticide is becoming persistent in the environment. So it's building up in the soil, and
yeah.
when it rains, it travels into the water.
Water, yeah.
And, you know, you think, okay, maybe that's the fish, but actually most insects
yeah.
have larval stages in the water. That's where they're born.
Oh, I hadn't thought of that, yeah.
And the insects are the food source for
sure.
the birds.
Yeah.
So you have all these birds who need to eat the insects, but they're to death. So this is why these things are, they take years to come to people's attention, because I think the pesticide manufacturers certainly didn't have that intention
no.
when they made that product.
No doubt. No.
But it takes years for people to figure out, oh,
this is
an indirect effect. It's
yeah.
like 1, 2, 3 steps away.
And that's just one thing, because I know we also talked about light pollution being a surprising
mm-hmm.
issue, which mm-hmm. we can't get into now. But we're going to talk to you again, I'm sure, about this as things
mm-hmm.
evolve. And I know you're almost finished with this gorgeous film, and I know you all need some help. So tell us a little bit about your crowdfunding so people can get involved and make sure that this film happens.
Yes, thank you. We're trying to raise $50,000 Canadian, and that will help us finish the film. And, finish the film and also launch our social impact campaign.
Yeah.
So we have, two elements. We've finished the shooting, we've finished the picture editing, and right now we're in the stage where we are doing the soundtrack, and it's an amazing soundtrack because
wow.
you have all these bird
yeah.
songs. You do all these different stages of professional film finishing, which I
sure.
won't get into. They're all
yeah.
technical, but they all require professionals and a lot of expertise
yep.
to get it from, you know, your little edit suite computer
yep.
onto a bigger screen.
Yep.
So we need help with all those stages. But the good news is that we're almost done, and we've had a great response to the film so far. So we're trying to raise this $50,000, and we have a wonderful campaign going, and it's on Indiegogo.
Okay.
And so you can find it if you search the Messenger Doc at Indiegogo.
Okay.
But we've got great perks, these, you know,
yeah.
gifts or thank yous to
yep.
give away, and including bird-friendly coffee, and we can help you learn more about that, because our film
yeah.
not just talks about the problems, it talks about some of the solutions.
That's right. You and I talked about that last
yes.
time, too. So
there's lots of ways you can help, and so almost all of our perks, almost our giveaways, connect people to ways that they can help. So if you help the film,
yeah.
you don't just help the film, it takes one step further.
Yeah.
It's helping the actual cause.
That is
so
brilliant.
I
love what you're doing, Sue. I can't wait to see this whole film finished, and I know it will be. People, please go to thegreendivas.com if you're not there listening to this podcast from there, because all of the links will be there. Go to Indiegogo
yes.
if not, and find the Messenger Doc. Thanks so much, Sue.
Oh, thank you. It's great to talk again.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Green Divas Heart Wildlife. Please visit thegreendivas.com, that's T-H-E, greendivas.com, to learn more about wildlife, nature, and a whole lot more. Being green can be so sexy. Well, at least you can be sexy and keep it green. Check out the Green Divas Eco Sexy Podcast for ways to keep it green in the bedroom or wherever you like to have sex. Well, another fabulous Eco Sexy segment, this time with Wendy Strager. Oh, my God. You did tell me, and for some reason, I just massacred it again. Pronounce your name?
Strager.
See, you
yeah,
said
the
it.
The invisible A.
The yeah. invisible A. It's such interesting spelling anyway. She is the founder and CEO of Good Clean Love. She's an author, a loveologist, all about relationships, love, and sex. And so we're going to be hopefully speaking. Wendy's going to become one of our go-to eco-sexy experts. But today, I think we're going to talk about something that we haven't really covered yet, and I think it's really important. And that was we were discussing it before, the connection between spirituality, our inner connection, and how that affects our sex life and our relationships. Hi, Wendy.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Well, there I was babbling away all by myself. Long introduction, but you deserve it.
Well, thanks for all that. And, you know, I think actually it's an incredibly important topic and, you know, something that I have learned really in my own life. But, here's the truth of love. The basic, you know, and it doesn't matter if you're talking about sexual love or friendship love or romantic love. It's like if we don't have that connection to ourselves, if we don't have some capacity to love ourselves, which really I think is a spiritual endeavor at the end of the day, then, you know, and I see this happen all the time. You know, you can have a Mack truck of love coming at you, and you will find a reason for it to not be yours.
Yeah,
you know, so we turn away from love so frequently because we don't have that connection internally, you know, and how we think about ourselves and the relationships we're in is literally the groundwork that we build a fire of sexuality on.
Yeah.
And so if you're living in a marsh or, you know, on, an arid desert,
right.
You know, because of the way you think about yourself and the fact that you have not really taken the time to build a relationship to your own heart, then you could be having all the love in the world coming to you and you won't feel it.
Yeah.
And it's tragic, actually. It's really, really tragic.
Well, it is, because how many people run around and go, why am I alone and why is this not happening for me? And this could be one potential thing, is that we're turning ourselves off when we're not connected.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the truth is that, I mean, this is my all-time favorite Buddha quote, but, you know, he said that, you know, that really there is no one in the world that deserves your love and affection more than you yourself. And I still remember the very first day I ever read that quote.
Yeah.
And realized just like how little time I had ever spent at sort of my own esteem, you know, just believing that I was lovable. And, you know, and many of us grow up without that messaging, and really we don't understand that is the heart of the matter. And really, until we start to heal that space, you know, you could have men falling all over you, or women, as the case may be,
right.
And you will not experience that love because you have no container in yourself to hold love,
yeah.
Which really ultimately is what meditation and spiritual endeavors gives us, right? It
yes.
gives us this quiet place where we can hold our own love.
Well, and there is something about receiving, because I think many of us are so busy doing, giving, and we just don't stop for meditation or to just be open to what the universe is offering us, whether it's a love relationship or health, you know.
Okay. It's true, and many, many, many people are very bad receivers, you know, or it's not even that they're bad receivers, it's that they're completely unskilled at receiving, and I do agree with you that those two acts or those two intentions in life are deeply connected,
yeah.
You know, to the degree that I could not believe that I was worthy of my own love, how could I receive it from anybody else? I couldn't.
Yeah, and that's a sad state of affairs that is probably more common than anybody really wants to admit. So the importance
yeah.
of, like I always like to say, it's an inside job, really. It's
mm-hmm.
not that there's something external blocking us a lot of the time, percentage-wise. It's really how we're treating ourselves from the inside out.
It's exactly that. And, you know, I have done a ton of work on this, and I'm also working on a book on this, about positivity, but we don't really understand, I think, or we certainly underestimate the power of our own thinking. And so many people do not pay attention to the quality of their thoughts,
right.
Which basically is the blueprint for their life. And so if you're, and is definitely the blueprint for the relationships you're in. So if you are having continuous negative thoughts about yourself and your partner, there's no way you're going to be able to build a passionate fire that lasts. There's no way.
Yeah. No, negativity, anger, resentment, all those things are just total love, passion killers, right?
Well, I mean, you know, here's the thing. It's like all of those emotions are real emotions. And I would never be an advocate to not feel the emotions
right.
you feel.
I agreed.
So, you know, but turning them into habitual thinking patterns is another thing.
Yeah.
So
yep.
if
yep.
you feel angry and express that anger and do it in a way that somebody can hear you, you know, but don't turn it into a map of your thinking.
Yeah.
You know, that's the difference. You know, I would never urge somebody to not experience their emotions because it doesn't work.
Right.
You know, fake happiness is the worst kind of happiness.
Right on.
You know, and fake positivity, it makes you sick. You know, have your emotions, but actually choose thoughts that are going to cultivate the life you want. And I really believe everybody wants to be loved and they want to be sexual and they want to be in a sexual relationship that feeds them.
Yeah.
And so what kind of thoughts could you create that would foster that?
Well, and this is where sort of meditation, some kind of inner practice that helps you connect and reconnect too. If you do have maybe a lot of people have that sort of anger underneath that they're not in contact with, and they have to really kind of experience it, identify it, deal with it so that they can move on to
well,
other
you,
things.
You know, I love what you just said and really how I think about meditation, and many people are afraid or they don't know how to do it, or they think they won't be good enough. But I think if people were to just consider meditation as a break
yeah.
in their thinking time
yeah.
so that they could learn how to feel,
yeah.
right? Because when we practice slowing our thinking down, we get a glimpse of it. So that's
yeah.
one thing that happens. But we also have a visceral experience where we can feel what's happening in our body in a way that many times our thinking cuts us off to. And really, I feel like the disease of our time,
yeah.
which kills more relationships prematurely than any other thing that could happen, is that we don't have a high skill level in feeling our own feelings and naming them.
Yes.
And being
yes.
emotionally intelligent.
Yeah.
And meditation is a gift that we give ourselves to learn that skill.
Wow, that was, and I love that concept of, you said it before, someone is just unskilled at that. And using
you know,
the word skill is really, because it is like a practice, right? But, you know.
Everything is a practice. And love, you know, when I wrote my first book, Love That Works, love is really, you could break it down into four skill sets. You know, how you communicate, how you show up for people, how you think, and then how you engage in an intimate way physically. And those are all skill sets, which means that the truth of the seed of that is born in all of us. We all have the capacity to be good at all those things. But most of us don't practice those things.
Right. Well, I'm going to practice it now for the rest of the day for sure.
Good.
I do try to practice it every day. And I want to thank you because I could obviously just talk to you all day.
Can I say one more thing
yeah.
to you now before we say goodbye?
Yeah. Yes,
Here's
please.
Here's the thing that I always tell people, and I think it's really important in terms of actually choosing this practice, not just today, but every day.
Right.
At the very end of your life, in the last 10 minutes, in the last 10 breaths, the only thing that you're going to care about, the only thing that will even occur to you is who you loved and who loved you back.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
And so if you just consider how can I practice for those last moments of my life, it's always going to bring you back to these practices for love.
Yeah. Wow. That's actually very profound. And I just really definitely totally shifted my entire day right there. So for our listeners, I hope that you felt that and that you listen to Wendy and, you know, take a moment to get in touch
love
with
yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wendy, I'm looking forward to talking to you more soon.
Thanks so much for having me.
All right, people, stay tuned.
Turned on yet? Well, go to thegreendivas.com. That's T-H-E, greendivas.com. To learn more about this Green Diva's Eco Sexy podcast and find other low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green.
Country crooner Willie Nelson's most famous song has to be On the Road Again. And at the age of 80, he's still on the road in a bus powered by the same grease that French fries are cooked in. More on that after this.
Everyone wants to be a part of the green movement, and that's a great thing. Going green takes on a whole new meaning when you add tall grass beef to your family's dinner table. It's tender and juicy, and since the cattle graze on the natural grasslands of Kansas, it's also loaded with essential fatty acids and omega-3s that regular grain-fed beef lacks. It's good for you and your family, and good for the earth. For more information and to order tall grass beef online, go to www.tallgrassbeef.com.
Back in 2007, Nelson's wife talked him into buying her a VW Jetta diesel that had been converted to run on vegetable oil. And Nelson was hooked. Biodiesel is a form of fuel. It's made from corn, soy, peanuts, animal fat, even used cooking oil. When refined, it can be used in any regular diesel engine. For about $600, you can get a conversion kit that will not only pay for itself in savings at the pump, but also lower your carbon footprint in a big way. Next time you get asked if you want fries with your meal and you're driving a diesel, you might want to ask if you can have the grease too. I'm Bill Curtis, and Earth Matters.
The Green Divas get to talk to so many inspiring people, who each in their own way is helping us find a deeper shade of green. Here's just one of them. Enjoy.
Wow, I need this guy. I really, really need John DeGraff, who is, he's an author, a writer, he's a filmmaker, he's also the president of Take Back Your Time. I don't know if some of you remember the book, and it's still very popular, Affluenza, the all-consuming epidemic. And, you know, we're still suffering time poverty. I know I struggle with this a lot, but I really like his philosophies and the work that he's doing. Hi, John.
Hi. How are you? Good to be on your show.
Yeah, I really appreciate your giving us a call and giving us some of your time.
Sure.
So,
time is more than money, you know.
Well, it is. It does have value, and I've been kind of trying to convince myself and others of that for many years. But talk to us a bit about how you really got into this whole thing.
Well, you know, back when I was in college eons ago in the 60s, I learned as a sociologist that by the year 2000, we were going to have all kinds of time. We were going to have all this automation and computer revolution, and we'd be working 15 to 20 hours a week and have 7 to 10 weeks a year for vacation. We'd have so much time on our hands, we wouldn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
I thought, wow, here's a problem I can deal with.
But,
We didn't get that problem, and by 1990, Americans were working longer hours than they had been working in the 1960s. And it struck me that everybody I talked to, when you ask them, how are you, instead of saying fine, which they used to say, now they would all say busy.
Yeah.
And this was the thing, whether it was because whether they were unhappy or happy about it, sometimes they were proud, just, I'm so busy, you know, but other times they were, I'm stressed.
Yes.
And but that was the case, and I wanted to look into this. So I made a film for PBS called Running Out of Time.
Yeah.
And that was followed by the film Affluenza, which later led to the book. And that got me involved in a group called the Simplicity Forum, trying to think about what can we do to deal with this epidemic of overconsumption,
which yes.
is threatening our lives and our environment, and
yes.
all of those things. And one of the things we concluded was that if we can't just simply say it's bad to consume, don't do it, and so forth, we needed to say that you're sacrificing something right now that's really important to your lives in all of this. And that if you stop sacrificing so much of that, mainly your time, you can actually live better, have a better life, and not consume so much and not have such a big impact on the earth. And so we started this organization, Take Back Your Time, to deliver that message, and we got involved in a number of things. And I think the evidence is beginning to confirm that we really do have to think about sharing and shortening work hours as a way of creating employment, rather than just constantly thinking we can grow to do that, because the Earth simply can't sustain these constant levels of economic growth.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's something to be said about all of it. I mean, we could talk for hours just about overconsumption and the idea of simplifying.
Absolutely.
We could talk for hours about the concept of balance and time and the value of it. It really...
Well, they're all connected, and that's the point that I try to make, that these aren't single issues. They are a part of a web of issues that have to do with quality of life and focusing on quality of life rather than quantity of stuff, or GDP, as we like to call it.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because, you know, I had this experience a number of years ago. I had been probably caught up in the material world a bit, and I had to move, and we had to get rid of a lot of stuff. And I went through this process of realizing how much a burden stuff was. And when I began
to
unburden myself, it was an emotional process, but boy, it was liberating. And since then, I have been sort of on this mission. And of course, you know, being a green diva and talking about all this stuff and learning about the impacts, I'm into this whole, like, consume less, buy less, reuse, keep it simple. And
absolutely.
I can't tell you how much happier I am when I'm, you know, in that mode and it's working.
Absolutely. Well, I think that that's true. And polling shows that about 86% of Americans who have downshifted in terms of consuming less agree with you. I mean, there are a few who it's not been a great experience for, but the vast majority feel the way you do.
Well, so let's talk about happiness, because that comes up in relation to all this stuff, which is interconnected, and our level of happiness, whatever that is. I don't even know how you define happiness. It's sort of like a byproduct. I don't know.
Well, I define it kind of the way Gallup does, which is sort of life satisfaction. And there are some ways to measure this, and there is a World Happiness Report that's put out by the United Nations, which actually does have a listing of countries and ranked by their self-reported life satisfaction. In that, the United States ranks 17th. We've dropped from 11th in the last few years, so we don't do too bad. But the very
that's not a surprise.
They're primarily in Northern Europe, Denmark, and so forth.
Okay, how does Italy? I'm just curious about how Italy ranks, because they get a lot of grief for taking a lot of time off in the summers. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, the interesting thing is, I mean, Italy doesn't rank particularly well when it comes. Italy is a sort of an anomaly. They don't rank real high in this life satisfaction. On the other hand, they have much lower rates of mental illness than we do in the United States. So they don't have the highs and the lows in some ways that we do. But I was just in Italy. I just spent 2 weeks there, 2 weeks ago. And I think it's a delightful place. I was in Tuscany, believe it or not. I was asked by the government of Tuscany to come to Florence and speak about quality of life.
Seriously?
Which I sort of think is akin to me being asked to coach Tiger Woods on golf or something like that. But
that's funny.
Nonetheless, they're doing a great job there. But Italy does have time off in the summer, but the Italians actually work pretty long hours.
Oh,
the
okay.
People who work short hours are the Dutch, the Danes, and the Norwegians, and the Germans, and much shorter hours than we do. And yet they're quite productive, quite happy.
Well,
the Danes and the Dutch are about the happiest people on Earth.
Okay, and let's also say that, like, their economies have not collapsed.
No. In fact, the economies that are doing worst in Europe are the ones where people work the longest hours, like Greece.
Okay.
Not the ones where people work the shortest hours. The Germans, the Danes, the Dutch are doing quite well. And yeah, so there is no connection between long work hours and strong economies. Quite the contrary.
Yeah.
But there is a connection between long work hours and environmental footprints.
Yeah.
And the Swedish EPA is doing a lot of work along these lines, looking at the connection between working hours and greenhouse gas emissions, for example, and finding that reducing working hours and sharing work is one of the best ways that you can, things that you can do to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and fight climate change.
Wow.
So that's an issue I've been involved with.
That is fascinating.
EPA research is great on this.
Now, I just, in a million years, really had never thought. I mean, I guess it's kind of obvious in some ways, but it's so obvious it really never smacked me in the head.
Well, let me just kind of make clear why this might be.
Yeah.
Number one, you do consume less because you're working less,
right.
And so you're making and buying less, and that's a part of because there's so much embodied CO2 in the products that we buy.
Right.
But number two, people who work less are more likely to do things like walk and cycle and take public transit rather than look for the fastest, most energy-consumptive way of getting to work, for example.
Right.
They are more likely to do things like proper environmental behaviors, recycling, even hanging their clothes, out to dry.
Right.
And something that I've been pretty poor at, but I try to do a good job on most things. So you can actually see that these behaviors are affected by the amount of time we have. And people who are really time-pressed, time-stressed, and overworked are far more likely to use more fuel, for example.
So well, there's no question. For me personally, if I had more time, I'd be doing more gardening, maybe eating more
right.
of my own food, more food preparation rather than buying a packaged thing, which I try not to do. But come on.
We all do it.
And then what about the concept of like all these office buildings or places where people may go to work, not necessarily retail environment, where maybe they're closed a little bit more if their working hours are less?
So even, for instance, states that have experimented with a four-day week, even 10-hour days, find that they have immense energy savings because by shutting the office buildings down on Fridays. Now, I don't advocate these compressed work weeks of 10-hour days because I think 10 hours is too long to work in a day. But what I believe is that we could easily go to a four-day work of 8-hour days in the United States, be plenty productive, and save a whole lot of energy and help the climate and help our lives and everything else.
Oh, so I think we should you've obviously started a movement here because I'm right there with you, and we have to promote the heck out of this and make it happen.
Well, that's a thing that your time is trying to do, and I encourage people to look to our site. Now, we're also involved in the issue of vacation time for Americans.
Yeah.
When it comes to time off, Americans are really tightwads of the world.
We,
along with Papua New Guinea, that's our only competition. We're the only country in the world that doesn't guarantee paid maternity leave when people have a baby.
That's
crazy. Only Papua New Guinea in the U.S.
That's
crazy. For vacation time, it's a little better. There are four other countries that don't guarantee paid vacations. They happen to be Suriname, Guyana, Nepal, and Burma. That's
okay.
It. We're working on these issues. The Healthy Families Act, for instance, is coming up in Congress, which would support family leave and sick days, a very important thing to get behind. And secondly, we really need more vacation time as Americans so we can unwind and free ourselves from all the burnout and stress.
I vote yes. I'm in with that because I am one of those people.
Then I'll vote for you. We'll put you in Congress, and you'll just take care of it.
Yeah, I'm in. I'm in because I'll tell you, I'm one of those people that I went for about 5 years without more than one weekend, really, of vacation going away.
That is very dangerous for your health.
I think it was. And
it's not only dangerous. I mean, the studies show that, for instance, you have about twice as much chance of getting a heart attack if you do that.
Yeah.
And, if you do that on a regular basis. And you might be as much as 8 times as likely to suffer from depression if you don't take vacation, especially females.
Yeah. See? See, well, we've been remedying that, and as a green diva, I've been afforded some opportunity to travel.
That's great.
So things do work themselves out, but I am 100%, and let's tell people your website so they can go find out more.
Yes, it's takebackyourtime.org, and it's in the process of change, our website, although it's up, and you can go to it and see some, but we're getting a whole new website.
Cool.
And we're also working on a vacation campaign. We'll be having Vacation Matters Summit in New York in May.
And
we don't know the date yet, but I'll keep you informed.
Yeah.
To have you come and cover it.
Yeah.
And we're hoping to certify companies that have good vacation practices and really let their employees get out and have a little time off.
Oh, the Green Divas would be one of those employees. If, you know, when we employ more people, we'll be one of those.
That's great, and I think it's really important for the environment. I know it's a green show, and I'm on the board of Earth Island Institute.
Yes,
an environmental organization, and so environment is a big issue for me. But I think this fact of shortening work time as one, not the, but one of the means of fighting global warming is something we really need to take more seriously.
Well, I'm actually really willing to look at this more seriously. I'm fascinated by it. I'm very glad that you're doing this work, and I'm hopeful that we'll get to talk again soon.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, John. Keep up the good work, but you know, not too much time.
Yeah.
Hope you enjoyed that as much as they did. Please visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com. For more fun podcasts and information on the Green Divas and low-stress ways to live a deeper shade of green.
You've been listening to the Green Divas Radio Show. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts on iHeartRadio, Stitcher, iTunes, Swell Radio, and Spreaker. Get social with the Green Divas on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Pinterest. Subscribe to the Green Divas YouTube channel to watch them in action. And for all the latest good green news, visit thegreendivas.com. That's greendivas.com.